Praise the Lord. Ruth, chapter number 2. We've been covering the book of Ruth and getting some different things. And it is an exciting study. And again, the first chapter, we dealt with a lot of trauma. We dealt with a lot of tragedy. We dealt with a lot of turmoil that they had gone through as a family with the loss of loved ones. And we talked about when they left Bethlehem, Judah, went to Moab, and then the return back to the house of the house of bread, to the city where God wanted them to be, the promised land. And we ended up Sunday night, the last thing we discussed was at the end of verse number 22. It was the beginning of barley harvest and all the possibilities that are now going to come in their lives and the things that God is going to do in them and through them because of the change and because of all that's taken place there. And so here they come to the beginning of barley harvest, and now we are in chapter number 2, verse number 1. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered, The Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us as we get into the meat of the book of Ruth. We begin to get into the fields. We begin to see the new character that comes in, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And how that's a picture of Christ in our lives, redeeming us from the field and redeeming us from the fold. God, I pray that you'd help us to be able to make the different correlations that are made here, but to also see these practical truths that we can apply to our lives. Use us, guide us, please. Teach us something. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. As we followed a general outline for the book of Ruth, again, chapter 1 deals with our relationship being in Christ. And we dealt with several relationships that were found in chapter number 1. We talked about the family relationship. We talked about the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. We talked about the relationship between Ruth and her native land where she was at. And then, of course, coming back in the relationship that Naomi had towards everybody else and the bitterness that she had because of the things that have taken place and transpired in her life. And so we find here our relationship being in Christ. Here in chapter number 2, we're going to see now that our redemption is found in Christ. Our redemption is found in Christ. So we're going to begin to see the stage be set. We're going to begin to see things fall in place. And we're going to begin to see Ruth's life being changed forever. Here in Ruth chapter number 2, we're going to see a lot of things that take place here. But there's two aspects I want to get to tonight as we begin to break down Ruth chapter number 2. Again, we're going to spend three different messages here in chapter number 2. And that'll be tonight, that'll be Sunday night, and next Wednesday night. And then we'll spend the following Sunday in chapter 3 dealing with our rest being in Christ. And then we'll end it on a Wednesday night with our reward being in Christ in chapter number 4. And you don't want to miss any of that. But here, go back to Ruth chapter 2. Look at verse again, number 1. At the end of chapter 1, we dealt with now this is the beginning of barley harvest. And I want you to notice here at the very beginning of chapter number 2, we see that in our lives, just like in Ruth's lives, that we are guided by God into His field. And here, that's the first point I want you to notice tonight, that we are guided by God into His field. Here, Ruth is going to be guided to a field, a specific place for a specific time where she is to meet a specific person. We talk a lot, and we mentioned it several times on Sunday about the divine appointments that God gives us in our lives, and how God many times in our lives will work behind the scenes long before we ever know what's going on, and long before we ever realize that it's His great hand that's moving everything in place in our lives just for such a time as this. Just like in Esther's life, we see it here in Ruth's life as well. I want you to notice here in verse number 1, the person that is involved in our search. Here we are guided to God, we are guided by God into His field, but there is always a search that is taking place. And here is our search for God, but also His looking for us. And many times when Ruth came from the land of Moab, and she comes to the land of Bethlehem, and she's heard about all the good things there in Bethlehem. She's heard about all the blessings, and she's heard about all the change that's taken place, and she's seeking after something there in Bethlehem. And notice here in verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. I want you to notice in our lives, when we are searching for God, He has always got somebody that is searching for us. You see, we begin to reform some things in our lives, and we begin to fall in place and begin to try to better our lives and seek after having God in our lives. It's amazing how He's always got somebody prepared already to seek us out and to search for us. And we're going to see that here in Ruth's life as well. Here, the person that is involved in this search is seen in verse number 1. We see that he is a related man. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband. Here, he was related to Naomi. Here, he had no doubt heard that Naomi was back in town. And he had no doubt heard that Naomi was not only back in town, but that she had brought somebody with her. And he wanted to come and greet his family. He wanted to come and meet a new friend. Here, he wanted to come and let them know that they were welcome back in the place. And again, when you leave the will of God and you go to the world, when you get right with God and come back, God's people are always going to welcome you back. Now listen, they may not condone the sin that you were involved in, and they may not condone the practices that you began to do and the changes that you made in your life, but they're always going to welcome you back with loving arms to show you, hey, there's a place that God has for you, and there's a people that God wants to espouse you to, and there's things that God still wants you to do in your life. And here, Boaz wanted to meet Naomi again, wanted to visit with her, wanted to fellowship with her. We find that he was a related man. He was a kinsman. But we also find here that he was a rich man. The Bible says he was a man of wealth. And when we talk about Boaz being a type of Christ, understand that our God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and our God has everything at His disposal. And absolutely anything and everything that we need in our lives, our God has in supply for us. He is waiting and ready to give it to us. He's waiting and He is ready to open the windows of heaven and to pour us out a blessing. See, we serve a God who owns everything. He's the creator of the universe, and many times we forget that. We forget that when we go through our trials, when we go through our hard times, when we go through our struggles. Again, Naomi had left the will of God. She had come back to Bethlehem, Judah. And here she, again, at the end of chapter 1, she said, I am bitter. Call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi anymore. And immediately she's reminded, and immediately it's mentioned here, that she's related to somebody that's got a little bit of wealth. She's related to somebody that's going to take care of her, that's going to fix the situation that she is in. Here we see that Boaz is a man of wealth. He was a rich man, but he was also a respected man. He was of the family of Elimelech. Again, Naomi's family was a family that was respected, unlike other families. They were a family that had a little bit of dignity about themselves. They were a family that had a little bit of clout there in this society. They were a family that, when no doubt, when they left, they were missed, and people took knowledge that they were no longer where they were supposed to be. And here, Elimelech was a man who led his family to serve God. But again, he passed away and his children passed on. And when Naomi came back and she was empty, she was reunited with her family. They didn't disown her because of the changes that she had made. They didn't disown her because of the bad mistakes that she had made. But rather, they welcomed her with open arms. And they enjoyed having her back. Here, he was a respected man. The Bible says his name was Boaz. Here, the person involved in our search was Boaz. And again, that's likened unto Christ in our lives. We'll show you some parallels as we get thicker into the study in the next couple of weeks. But you'll notice also in verse number 2, I want you to see the purpose involved in our search. Notice what Ruth says to Naomi. Here, Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. Here, Ruth was searching for fulfillment. In the Bible, the word field always represents the world. A field is always a type of the world. And so here, Ruth is saying, let me go to the field. Let me go to work. Let me go and do something. Let me go and make something. Here, Ruth was looking for fulfillment. The whole purpose, the whole reason that she had left Moab to come to Bethlehem, Judah, was to make something of herself, was to make something of her life, was because there were things that she was missing in a pagan land that she could only get in God's promised land. And here, she is chomping at the bit, so to speak. She is ready and she is willing to go and to work in the field. Brother Thoreau, it's kind of like when you have a new convert and those folks get saved and they get fresh in the church and they're just chomping at the bits. They're ready to do something for God. They say, when are we going to go soul winning? When are we going to have the next church service? When are we going to have prayer meeting? Let me just do something for God. And that's the way Ruth is right here. She says, let me now go into the field. I'm reminded of when we first come to Christ, or when God shows us a truth in our lives, truth maybe in the Word of God, and you've got to share it with somebody. You ever been reading through your Bible, and you read a great truth, and God speaks to your heart, God shows you something, and you just got to show it to somebody. You just got to share it with somebody, because God has given you something. And here Ruth goes to Naomi, she says, here, let me now go to the field. There's fulfillment that she's pursuing after. She wants to live a life of fulfillment. Listen, she knew what it was like to grow up in a pagan land. She knew what it was like to live a life of foolishness. She knew what it was like to live a life of fun, to live a life of vain worldliness. She knew what that was like. But now she wanted to live a life of fulfillment that can only be found in Christ. Here she was ready to go to the field. Here she was ready to work. Again, as I ended on Sunday night, and now we're going to begin here, it was the beginning of barley harvest. And she didn't know what barley harvest entailed. She didn't know all the growth that was going to take place. When she came in and all she did was reap the blessings. She didn't understand all the work that had gone into it to begin with. There's going to be some times, listen, in your Christian life where God is going to allow you to come in on somebody else's work and to come in on somebody else's business where they've been investing and they've been working hard and they've been planting and they've been sowing and they've been watering and they've been plowing and they've been doing a work, and then God's going to allow you to come in and to partake of vineyards that you didn't plant and to drink from wells that you didn't dig and to live in cities that you did not build. Just like the children of Israel when they came into the promised land. There were vineyards they didn't plant. There were wells they didn't dig. They didn't have to fight for those things. God provided those in their life. And that's what it's like for Ruth right now. It's the beginning of barley harvest. She comes and, hey, there's a field. And all I want to do is I'm going to go to the field. I'm going to go work that field. I want to go and get something for us. I want to go and get something for the family. There's things to be had in the Christian life. And I want to go and get something. Here, she was ready. She was seeking after fulfillment. She said, let me go to the field. Then notice the next phrase. It says, and glean ears of corn. Not only was she searching for fulfillment, but she was searching for food. Now, we all good Baptists around here, amen. We know where the food is at. We got a potluck. You got something going on. All you got to do is follow your nose and you know where to go. Praise the Lord. You come home from a long day and somebody's got something cooking in the oven, or they got something cooking on the stove, or your wife's got a crock pot meal that's ready to go, and you walk in, you open the door, and the first thing you're hit with is the aroma of something you've been looking forward to, amen? Some food, praise God. But we're not talking about physical food right here. Although she was pursuing physical food. In the Christian life, there's a search that we have on our own for spiritual food. You see, each and every opportunity that we have to open the Word of God, each and every time that we have to spend some time bowing our knee in prayer, each and every time we have where we get to come to church and we get to hear the Word of God through the Sunday school lesson or through the message, we get to get some spiritual feeding that takes place in our lives. Here she was ready to go and she was seeking fulfillment to get some work done. But here she was searching for some food as well. And in your Christian life, when you begin to see something good that God is doing in your life, and when you begin to see that God is working in amongst you and around you and through your family, you're going to want to seek after His feeding. You're going to want to seek into the Word of God and dig in deep and see what God has for you and for your family. Here she was searching for some food. She was looking to glean some ears of corn. I know some of you like corn. Amen, Brother Throw. Got some corn on the cob. Praise God. She was ready. The more butter, the better. Amen. We're going to put a pin in that right there and go eat. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. He was a search for fulfillment. There was a search for some food. But I want you to notice also there was a search for some favor. She said, here, I'm going to glean ears of corn. Notice the next phrase. After him in whose sight I shall find grace. Here, she knew where she was going, and she was seeking to find favor in the eyes of Boaz. See, again, as I mentioned on Sunday night, I have no doubt within my mind, and again, my opinion, while they were on the journey from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah, I have no doubt, I was sharing with you a minute ago, that Ruth was in the ear of Naomi, talking to her, and like little kids, amen, just in the ear, constantly. Hey, what's it going to be like here? Hey, when are we going to do this? Hey, when is this going to happen? Hey, what does it mean barley harvest is ready? What is the beginning of barley harvest? What does that even mean? And she's in her ear talking about all these things. Well, I also have no doubt that Naomi took the time to tell Ruth, hey, when we get there, I have some family. When we get there, I do have some kinsmen. When we get there is a man by the name of Boaz, and he's a rich man in the land. Because see, what you don't know is before we left, my husband Elimelech was a respected man. He was a man that was there in the community. He was a man that everybody knew about. Our family was something before we left and came to Moab. And what you don't know is you're going to meet a man named Boaz. And so here, when Ruth goes to the field, and she's looking for fulfillment. When she goes to glean some corn, and she's looking for some food, she's also going to catch the eye of the man that she had heard about already. That's what your Bible says. After him in whose sight I shall find grace. She said, I'm going to go and try to find some favor from this man that I've heard so much about. She had heard about Boaz. She had heard about the connection that the family had. And she wanted to go and find favor in his sight. Have you ever wanted to do something and do something well to where you found favor in somebody's sight? We've all been there. If you've ever worked a job, you've been there. Amen. You want to do something and you want to do it right and you want to do it well. Why? So that people would remember you. Here, she wanted to go and find some grace. I'll tell you this, in the Christian life, there's no better person to find grace in the eyes of than our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Christian life, there's nobody better to impress than God Himself. Was it not Paul that said in Philippians chapter number 3, I believe it's in verse number 7 or 8, he said, that I may win Christ. What he's saying, is saying, I want to win the favor of God. I want to do something so great for God that God literally stops what he's doing in heaven and he takes it and he looks down at little old us and sees, hey, there's some people down there that love me. There's some people down there that care for me. There's some people down there that are trying to fulfill the Great Commission. There's some people down there doing something great for God. And God leans his favor into our lives that I may win Christ. That ought to be a goal for every one of us. I want to win a little bit of favor from God. And if God could stop anything that He's doing and He could focus His attention on us, He could focus His attention on a little church down here in McAllister just trying to make a difference in somebody's life. I want to win some favor. Here she says, Ruth says, after him in whose sight I shall find grace. There's favor that she's going after. Then notice what Naomi says. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Here, there's a search for freedom. I want you to notice this. And I never really paid much attention to it. Ruth, although she grew up pagan, okay? Again, we've talked a lot about Moab. Although she grew up in a pagan land, she didn't follow the commandments that all the Jews were given. She didn't know all those commandments. She didn't know the commandments of honoring your father and your mother. She didn't know the commandments of not having any other gods before God. She didn't know all those commandments. But the thing that's interesting to me in verse number 2 is Ruth took all the time in the world to seek permission from Naomi. Now catch that. She didn't know that she was supposed to follow her authorities because she was pagan. But she does everything she can to seek and win her approval. Which shows me that she, even in the state that she grew up in, she was trained to have some kind of respect for authority. By the way, that's something that's missing today. Where most kids will go around and do whatever they want to do and they never seek any kind of parental permission for anything, to find somebody that doesn't even know God like Ruth to take her time and to beg Naomi for this and for that. And Naomi says, go, my daughter. And she had the permission to go and seek the freedom that she was pursuing after. Now again, she could have followed after her own customs. She could have followed after her own practices. And she could have done absolutely whatever she wanted to do. I understand our teenagers are over there getting prepared for the cantata. But whether they're in here or not in here, the fact is, I'd say it either way, there is protection in following the God-given authorities in our lives. There's a, and I've referred to it as an umbrella of protection. As we obey the authorities that God's given us, then we are accountable to that authority, and the authority one day will stand before God and be accountable to how they led us. And we've got to be mindful to follow the God-given authorities in our lives. If you need some verses for that, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as if they must give an account. See, one day I'm going to give an account for how I lead the church. One day Brother Thoreau is going to give an account for how he pastored while he was here. One day you as a parent are going to give an account before God for how you raise your children. So don't ever let anybody tell you that you're being too strict on your kids. They're not going to give an account for your kid. You will. They don't have a vote. I'm sorry to say. No, really I'm not. But they don't have a vote. It's your child, not theirs. Amen. Here, Ruth understood and respected the authority in her life. Even as a lost person, man, I lost my picture of me and my wife. We've got to put that back in my Bible. Amen. Praise God. Like, where'd that come from? That's a picture of me and my wife. That goes in my Bible, not your Bible. There's a person that was involved in the search. She was searching after Boaz. There's a purpose that was involved in the search. Here, she was searching for fulfillment, for food, for favor. Well, she also got freedom in the midst of it all. And by the way, when you put God first in your life, and man, this is really for the young people, but when you put God first in your life, the parents, the adult figures, we won't have a problem giving a little bit of leniency for some kids when they show some maturity. We won't have a problem giving them a little bit of freedom in those areas. Look at verse number 3. It says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her half was delighted on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Here I want you to notice not only the person involved in our search in verse 1, the purpose involved in our search in verse number 2, but I want you to notice the providence involved in our search in verse number 3. Here, God's providence is considered by our past, but also by the present. It's controlled in the present. See, God considers our past, but also God controls everything right now in the present. I want you to notice here, she went, she came, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. So let me give you a little bit of what was going on here. So what would happen, a lot of these lower income families, a lot of these families that didn't have land or didn't have a field, didn't have something to go and retrieve things on their own, what would happen is the people that owned the field, they would go and they would harvest the field, but they would save the corners of the field. They would save the edges or the perimeter of the field. Why? So that those that were less fortunate could come and could glean from the field. Or they could even come after they had harvested things in the field and then walk through even the next day and be able to pick things and pluck things from the harvest that was missed because somebody had forgotten or somebody had left it or somebody had overlooked it. So this was something that God had set up in His providence to be able to provide in the lives of those that were less fortunate. And aren't you thankful that in your life, God has shown great providence, because there have been times in all of our lives where we were less fortunate in things spiritually speaking, where somebody had to leave some things for us, where somebody had to guide us and they had to direct us. Aren't you so thankful that when you came to church, there was some Jesus that was left for you to get? Amen. Somebody didn't take it all, but no, there was enough. I remember the old song, and it's not saying enough. We might pull it out one day. It's the old hymn, "There's room at the cross for you." And in that chorus it said, "Though millions have come, there's still room for one." Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And I remember in my life that there are times where, I may not have wanted the things that God was given, and I may have dragged my feet in some areas when it came to serving God, but I'm so thankful that God still allowed me to glean from the field. There was providence that was involved in the search. See, God considers our past, but God controls our presence. Our present here. Again, we speak of divine appointments. I was stricken by a phrase that is mentioned here in verse number 3, and I want to explain it to you. The Bible says right in the middle of verse number 3, it says, "Her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz." I looked that up. I was like, what does that even mean? What does it mean? What is a hap? And what does it mean to light on a field? Like, did she go set the thing on fire? Is she a mini pyromaniac? What's going on here? That would have been me as a teenager. I was setting things on fire all the time. But here, her hap was to light on the part of the field. What does that mean? I began to look it up. I was cross-referencing the phrase and looking the words up by definition in the Strong's Concordance. And the word hap would be the root word for happening. And it refers to an appointment. And sometimes an appointment, it's mentioned in your Strong's Concordance, an appointment by accident. I was like, what does that mean? An appointment by accident. See, there's no accidents when it comes to God. Began to research a little bit more, began to look a little bit more. What does it mean to light on the part of the field? So I looked at that as well. It gave almost the same definition. So I began to look this up. I began to process some things, began to pray and ask God, what does this mean? I'll tell you what this means here. Ruth had heard from Naomi about the kinsman named Boaz. And Ruth took it upon herself to go to the field. And she was begging to go and glean from the field. She was going to go try to find favor according to verse number 2. All in context here. She was going to go try and find favor from Boaz. And here, Naomi said, "Go, my daughter." Now, Ruth is new to the land. Ruth doesn't know where anybody lives. She can barely get back home just fine. She's not there for any amount of time. You know how it is when you go to a new area. You're using GPS, amen, on your phone. GPS is my best friend. But guess what? They didn't have that. They didn't have Google Maps. They didn't have all these things. They had to figure out where everything was. And here she just happened to go to a field where they were gleaning. But there was no happening by accident for God. You see, she was trying to meet up with the family member that Naomi had told her about. And listen, she may have in her own way accidentally stumbled upon Boaz's land, but God had a divine appointment in her life for her to come to the right place at the right time to come in contact with the right person that God intended for her to be able to meet. You see, in your life, there's going to be some times where you're going to have this happen in your life, where you're going to have a hap to light in someone's field, where you're going to have this opportunity to go and get this done, and you may not know if you're doing it exactly right, and you may not know if you're going to the exact right place, but you're trying to step out by faith, and you're trying to follow God's will for your life, and you as a man, you're trying to lead your family to serve God, and you don't know if you're making all the right choices, but God just so happens to work and wink at our ignorance, as the Bible says. He took a time and He winked at our ignorance, and there's going to be some times where God may overlook some of the ignorant choices that we make, and God guides us into the right place at the right time for the right purpose to fulfill His plan for our lives. You see, there's a lot of times where as a young person, I had no idea what I was doing. You ever feel that way? I feel that way today. Amen. Some days you wake up and you're like, nope, we're not doing today. Right? Well, it's a fact of life. Here, Ruth, she didn't know where she was going. She just knew she had to go to a direction. She had to go to a place where she thought it would be the right place. And sometimes when you initially began to search after God and seek after God, you didn't know where all the books of the Bible were. You didn't know where all the doctrine of the Word of God was. You didn't know what all the truths meant, but you just knew that if I can come to church and I can learn the Word of God and I can listen to the pastor as he preaches the Word of God, if I can take some time in my own personal devotions and read the Bible and see what God has for me and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to me and let Him direct my life, I know that He's going to lead me in the right way. And according to Psalm chapter 27, verse number 11, the Bible says that He'll lead us in a plain path. The Bible says, the Word, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now listen, I've used this illustration 100 times, so don't get tired of it. But they would take an old lantern, they would take an old torch, and they would light the way, and it would be a lamp for the feet at night. Now you couldn't see for long distances like you do with those giant lights, amen? Those distance lights, you couldn't see for a long distance, but you can see your general surroundings and you knew where you were going. And the Word of God, the Bible says, is a lamp unto our feet, meaning that it's going to be guiding our steps, every step that we take for the glory of God. And as it guides our steps, we can look back on our lives and the Word was a lamp unto our feet, but it was a light unto our path. And as I followed after God, God lit my path. Every single day, I didn't understand it then, but I can look back on my life now and I can see the path that God had coursed for my life. You could do the same thing in your life. You couldn't see all the steps that you were taking at that divine time. You couldn't see the path that God had laid out for you. And God was looking at the bigger picture. It's like a giant picture when you're trying to put a puzzle together. And you're there trying to put the perimeter. And you're there trying to put the pieces all together. You're there trying to figure it out. And God just wants you to trust Him by faith and keep on stepping and keep on walking and keep on moving for the glory of God. Here she was trying to get to the place where she knew she needed to be. She knew about the kinsman. She knew about Boaz. She knew that Boaz was rich enough to own a field. And she just so happened to light upon his field. She just so happened to come across his exact field. When she needed to. Again, there was no accident on God's part. God knew what He was doing. I've made this statement before and I'll say it again. Listen, it was no accident that God brought you to this church when He did. There's no accident that God brought Brother Throw here to McAllister when He did. There was no accident. Because God is a God of divine appointments. And there's a reason God has things happen in our lives at the exact time that He wants them to happen. You see, God had an appointment for Ruth. She didn't understand it. She was just going to go try to find some favor in the eyes. Listen, as a worldly person from Moab, all she knew was, hey, if I get good favor in the eyes of the man who is rich, then I'll be set for life. Isn't that how the world thinks? You're going to marry somebody, you better marry somebody who's got some money. Right? Isn't that what parents tell their kids? No, you got to marry somebody who's got some character and some spirituality. Amen. Hey, man. It's more than money can buy, I'll tell you. But here I want you to notice that we are guided to God, guided by God to His field. She didn't understand where she was going, but God guided her path and directed her steps. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, we've got to make sure that we follow the Word of God. We may not always understand what we ought to be doing for God, but I'll tell you this, we need to make sure that we take the next right step in the direction of God. You may not always know what the big picture may hold, but each and every day you ought to take the right step in the right direction. And that's in the direction of God. Look at verse number 4. I want you to notice also, as we wrap this all up here, we're not only guided by God to His field, we are also gathered by God from His field. Here, there was a day in your life where God gathered you from the field. Again, the field is a type of the workplace. It's a type of the world in the Bible. And there was a day where God came and He gathered you and He brought you out of the world and He set your feet upon a rock. I want you to notice here in verse number 4 and 5, look and behold, Boaz Again, he's the type of Christ. He's typified as a picture of Christ in this book. Boaz came from Bethlehem. Where'd Jesus come from? He came from Bethlehem. Amen. He said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. By the way, who are the reapers? They're the ones going out to the field trying to reap a harvest. Who are the soul winners in the church? Amen. They're the reapers trying to go out into the field trying to reap a harvest. And what did he say at the Great Commission? He says, and lo, I am with you always. What does Boaz say? The Lord be with you. Listen, there's parallels that are made in Scripture. I'm not making this stuff up. We're not trying to spiritualize the context. It is written there as plain as day. It's right there. The Lord be with you. And God said he would be with you if you'd go. Here. Then said Boaz in verse 5 unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? I want you to notice in our lives and here in the field, God is always present in his field. God is always present. Again, Boaz would be a type of Christ, but God is always present in his field. Not only is he always present, not only is he always there, because he said, the Lord be with you, but I want you to notice also, God is perceptive about his field. Here, Boaz comes at the end of verse 5 and he says, whose damsel is this? You see, Boaz, he made it a custom and he made a tradition to not just hire a bunch of people to keep his field, but he made it a practice in his own personal life to go and inspect everything that he expected from his field. And by the way, a good manager is going to do that. They're going to inspect what they expect. They're going to give a job, but they're going to follow through and make sure that it's being followed up with. And here Boaz goes to the field and he says, hey, there's another woman this year. He makes the statement. He says, whose damsel is this? Now, you think what you want. Boaz saw a pretty woman over there. Hey, whose damsel is this? Amen. I know. Remember when I first met Heather. Amen. Whose damsel is this? Praise God. Amen. He said, oh me, praise God. But I want you to know there was a perception in his field. Nothing went unnoticed. You see, when we began to go into the field and we began to pursue after trying to get close to God and we began to try to reform our lives and make some changes in our lives, God took notice. God saw it. God perceived it. And God said, hey, that person's getting ready. Hey, the waters have been stirring. Hey, their heart's being prepared. Hey, I'm going to send a soul winner to their house. I'm going to send somebody from that church. The church is getting out there and they're getting busy and they're inviting folks to church and they're making a difference in their community and they're preaching the Word of God and they're straight doctrinally and they're doing the right thing. I'm going to send somebody from that church to that house at this divine time because they're ready. You ever met those people that are just ready? They're just ready. I remember when we invited y'all to church. They're just ready. I wasn't asking him about that. I told him we were at church and this and that. He kept finding me. People were ready. Why? Because God's working in their hearts. Because God's working. It's very evident that God's very perceptive about his field. See, nothing takes God by surprise here in our community. It was no surprise that would happen in Hartsville the other night. That didn't surprise God by all means. But you know what? God had a man and a family that was there to be able to witness, and somebody got saved because of it. Why? Because of a divine appointment. Because God is very perceptive about his field. God sees what goes on. Here, Boaz, being a type of Christ, he goes to the servant that was set over the reapers, and he goes to the head guy. This would be the foreman on the job, and he said, hey, who is that was out there? I've never seen them before. They've never been here before. Who is that that's coming and gleaning from the field? Who is that that's showing a little bit of interest in this area? We're going to go and find that person. You see, there's many times where God sends somebody at our church and God's going to send somebody that way. And we've got to be perceptive and we've got to realize, hey, God's sending them here because they're seeking and they're searching for something. And we've got to share the gospel message with them. Here, God is perceptive about his field. You remember that time when God was working in your heart, God was working in your life, and God was trying to mold you and God was trying to shape you and God was preparing your heart. And you began to seek after God. Why? Because God was perceptive. He knew what He was doing. We didn't see it all. I love telling the story about how me and my wife met. Her family lived in Cabot, and they had gone to Missionary Baptist Church out there, and God had worked on Brother Thoreau's heart because He had seen the change in the direction that they were headed, and He knew He didn't want to raise His family in that kind of church that was straying away from the Bible. And He put His family there in Bible Baptist Church. He put Heather there in Jacksonville Christian Academy. It was during that time, Brother Thoreau, back in 98 when you were doing all that, my grandpa had this wild hair to buy a piece of land and put all of our family on it. My dad told me about it. Listen, I was 11 at the time. I said, Dad, we don't even get along at Christmas and Thanksgiving. How are we going to do all year long? I didn't think it was going to go well. You know how your family can be, right? 14 acres and we're all going to be divided by a fence? That's not going to work out well. My aunt's already nosy. How's that going to work? Man, everybody's always all up in our business anyway. So anyway, my grandpa had this idea. It was in 1998. He's looking for land. He bought land in Jacksonville. I was raised in Little Rock my whole life. We lived just outside of the city limits. We were right there on Lawson Road off Colonel Glenn. I was in Little Rock my whole life. I didn't want to move to Jacksonville. Nothing's in Jacksonville. It's closer to my family. They were all there. But he bought some land, began to clear that land. In 2000, we moved to Jacksonville. At that time, my aunt worked at Jacksonville Christian Academy. And my dad said, we're going to put you in school with your cousins. I was like, really? That's going to work? God put us in that place. My first day at JCA, Heather actually came with, I think it was Leah, came and introduced themselves to me and my sister there at the school. The very first person I met was Heather. We didn't know God was going to tie our hearts together. I had no idea. Matter of fact, she didn't even talk to me. All of junior high and high school, unless she needed help with math. She didn't talk to me at all. Brother was like, I wish she would have never talked to you. I'm just kidding. But listen, what I'm saying is this. We may not always see how God works things out, but God's always working things out in the shadows. God's always preparing things. And while we may not always understand it, as we allow the Word of God to direct our steps, we can look back in our lives and say, wow, look what God did. Wow, look how God provided. Brother Jordan, you and Miss Amy, was it 10 years ago God put y'all together? Y'all knew each other, but God put you together here. God worked some things out in your life. You never know what God has in store for your life if you just stay faithful to what He has called you to do. God is present in His field, but God is perceptive of the field as well. God knows what we need and when we need it. And by the way, and God knows when our interest is perked. You see, Boaz knew that there was a new person that was there. Boaz knew that somebody that was never there before has just shown up. And there's somebody now that's interested in his field. He wants to get to know that person. He wants to find out who it is. Then I want you to notice verse 6. God is predominant in his field. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Here, I can imagine Boaz. He's asking, whose damsel is this? And the reaper says, well, you should know who it is. They're related to you. Naomi's your family. This is the Moabite. This is the pagan girl that she brought back with her. Here, Boaz begins to take notice of who Ruth is at this time. He begins to see some things that are happening. But then I want you to notice verse 7, God provides from his field. And she said, I pray you, let me glean. So here the reaper is recounting the story of meeting Ruth. And Ruth had begged. She said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. She said, I don't even want to come and get things while they're here. I just want to get something afterwards. She said, I'm okay with the leftovers. I'm okay with a little bit that's left. I don't have to have much. Listen, you remember when you first got saved, you were just chomping at the bits at every little crumb that God gave you, every little nugget that fell from the preaching of the Word of God. You're like, I don't have to have much. Just give me something. Give me a truth that I can apply to my life. Show me something that I can make myself better for you. You didn't have to have much. And then we get a little bit more spiritual, we think, and oh, that verse doesn't bless me anymore. Well, did you get too good for John 3:16? Did you get too spiritual for that? Because last time I checked, Jesus Christ used that to save somebody. Man, sometimes we get too comfortable with messages that we've heard regularly. I've heard that truth on separation. I've heard that truth on the King James, but I've heard that truth before. Yeah, but you still don't let it bless you, do you? Whatever happened to just letting the Word of God bless us? Here, she said, I just want to glean. I want to gather. I want to just get something. So she came and continued even from the morning until now. I want you to notice the last part of the verse. He said that she tarried a little in the house. He said she stuck around so long, we invited her to come on in. You remember when you first got saved? You couldn't wait to come to the house of God. You couldn't wait to be there for the revival. You even showed up early for church. What's that like? We showed up early and we tried to get there and we tried to get something on the Word of God. And then when church was over, we sat around and we fellowshiped and we wanted to leave. We didn't want to leave. We just wanted to be there. I remember the first church I went to go work for. I went to work for Brother Allen there at Ambassador. And Brother Allen, he'd often say, as he was winding things down, people still standing around fellowshipping, he said, y'all just turn the lights off. The doors are locked. Head out on your way. So, he said, just turn the lights off when you leave. Why? Because people just wanted to fellowship. People wanted to spend time with one another. You remember what that was like in your Christian life? Let me ask you, what happened? Right. What happened? Here, she was there from morning until the evening. She was there so long that they invited her to come and stay there at the house. She had gotten first-class treatment. By the way, she didn't show up expecting that. She said, I just want to glean a little bit after they've all left. She said, I just want to get a little of the edges. I don't have to have much. But they said, man, you've been here so long. Now, come on in the house. You see, when we get plugged in to what God has for us, we get made part of the family, amen? And we're going to begin to see that groundwork laid in her life in regards to Boaz. Here, we're guided by God to His field, but we're also gathered from the field. Here, she had left the field. Now she's going to the house. And then Sunday night, we're going to talk about what happens there and what all takes place. But I want you to notice here, Ruth, she didn't know everything that she was doing at the time. She didn't realize everything that was taking place and everything that was happening. But she was following the advice of Naomi. And by the way, that's going to be a theme that we see throughout the rest of the book, where she listens to her authority. As Naomi gives her advice and Naomi gives her direction in her life. And she follows through with everything Naomi tells her to do. And then it just so happens she ends up at the field she's supposed to be at. That wasn't by chance. God had divinely orchestrated that. Again, it's not by chance God has you in this place. God's divinely orchestrated that. And you can't convince me otherwise because I just believe the Bible. And God's going to set the members as He sees fit. In the house of God. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Here Ruth was ready for the barley harvest. Here Ruth was ready to glean from the field. Ruth had gone and she was ready to partake of something. She didn't fully understand everything. The Bible says that she happed to light upon the field. I mean, she got there by accident, but God knew exactly where she was. It was no accident somebody knocked on your door and invited you to church. It was no accident at all that somebody shared the gospel message with you when they did. God orchestrated it in your life. Listen, it was no accident that that tragic event happened in your life to draw you to God. We've got a friend of mine right now who's pastor in a church, and he tells a testimony that God woke him and his wife up brought them to Him through the death of a child. I don't know the events that God's going to use in your life, but God's going to use something to bring us close to Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, guide us, please. Help us to see how You planned and prepared everything for Ruth. And help us to understand what You're trying to do in our lives as well. Use us, guide us, please. We ask these things in Your name and pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, You Come.